The great Ken Griffey Sr. is joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Such an incredible resume and career. We're going to talk about that right now. Three-time All-Star, two-time World Series champion, MVP of the 1980 All-Star Game, and was inducted in 2004 into the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame. I want to encourage you to go out and get a copy of the new book by Triumph Books, our good friends and partners. It is titled Big Red, Baseball Fatherhood, and My Life in the Big Red Machine. And I have to tell you, Ken, one of my takeaways, which I cannot believe, is that you were a multi-sport athlete, very successful, but had scholarship offers for football and for basketball. But you said in the book that baseball was your weakest sport. How can that be?
Well, we didn't play baseball that much in high school. I mean, I think a total of 4 years in high school, I think I probably played a total of about 20 games. And reason being, you know, southwestern part of Pennsylvania during March and April, it was usually raining or snowing. So if it even looked like it was going to rain, they usually called the game, and we never made them up. You know, we never made the games up in high school. So, you know, we just didn't play that much. And that was probably one of the reasons why I say that baseball was probably my weakest sport, because football was the number one sport in southwestern Pennsylvania anyway. You know, I mean, you had so many guys coming out of that area, you know, Tony Dorsett, Joe Montana graduated from the same high school I did. Mm-hmm. Fred Cox was from the same high school that I graduated from. And then, like I said, the only other one was Stan Musial. So football was the number one sport at that time. And, you know, I just decided late, you know, I had two tryouts with the Reds. And Elmer Gray was one of the referees that refereed a lot of my football and basketball games in high school. And he heard I was a pretty good baseball player, and I didn't know he was a Cincinnati Reds scout. And he asked me to come to two tryouts. I went to two trial camps with the Reds. And they pitched a guy named Doc Medich against me both times I was. Doc is a pitcher out of University of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. He's from in Pittsburgh area himself. And everyone knew he threw about 94, 95 miles an hour. And I hit a couple home runs, and I ran to 60 and 6'3". And that's when the Reds said, well, you know, Elmer told me, he said, we draft you, would you sign? And I said, yeah. And that was mainly because, you know, I wanted to help my mom out because, you know, instant money, I guess it was at that time. I was going to make the money, and I ended up signing with the Reds, and, you know, I helped my mom out.
You know, Ken, and what, you were selected 29th in the 29th round of the 1969 draft, the amateur draft. Okay, but you weren't taken high in the draft. You were the 682nd player taken.
You know, my mom thought it was the military. Mm-hmm. She thought it was the Army calling me and drafted me out of high school into the military. And at that time, Vietnam was going on real strong at that time. So, it surprised her. And I got on the phone, and that's when Elmer Gray told me, no, it's the Reds, and we're calling and let you know that, that you've been drafted by the Reds. And I didn't know anything about baseball. My mother didn't know anything about baseball, so. You know, the bonuses, we didn't even know they even asked for a bonus. So I was just glad that, you know, somebody called me because I was having troubles trying to figure out if I was going to play football or baseball or football or basketball in college. And I just never got any offers, and no one told me about any football scholarships in football.
Okay, so Ken, how much was your signing bonus? Can I ask you that?
My signing bonus was a jock strap and some white sanitary socks. That was it. That was my signing bonus.
I know you can't see me, Ken, but I am blushing in studio right now.
I figured you would be.
Oh, so how much, can I ask you how much you got paid per month?
But that was my bonus. Okay. You know, and the rest, I guess they can say, is history.
Well, what was your salary? I mean, let's talk a little bit about salary here. I mean, what kind of money did you make per month with the Reds?
$500 per month, and $250 went to Pirate City. And they had just built that motel down in Bradenton, Florida, Pirate City, they call it. And that's where they housed all the players. And there was three teams. It was Montreal, us, and Pittsburgh were housed in that motel or that hotel that they had us there. And it was the first year it was built in 69. So, you know, and we paid $225, half our salary was to them. And then you had taxes coming out. So, you know, my meal money was like a dollar a day or something. So it wasn't very much money, but, you know, you figure you play good enough and get to the big leagues, and that's what they would tell you, that you're not playing for the minor leagues, you're playing to get to the big leagues. And that's the way I tried to play, is get to the big leagues as soon as possible, and I can probably make some decent money.
We are so glad you're with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're quickly running out of time with the great Ken Griffey Sr., 3-time All-Star, 2-time World Series champion, and certainly we would love to take time to get some recollections of winning the World Series in 75 and 76, but I think that I want to talk to you about is you became the first father-son tandem with your son, Ken Griffey Jr., to play in the same Major League Baseball team. You first played together, what, with the Kansas City Royals. Just kind of take us through, what was that experience like? And at this point in stage in your life, I mean, when you reflect on that, what are some of those just incredible memories and spending time and playing baseball with your son?
Well, you know, when it first happened, you know, the whole, it was probably a little bit tough about that, how I got to Seattle. It was through a friend of mine, Bill Weitz, who was the National League president, and he was able to get me to Seattle. Once I got there, you know, I'm just at all of the situation, I'm here on the same field. When we, it really didn't hit me until we ran out on the field August 31st, 1990.
Wow.
And he was playing center field, I'm playing left field, and it was just an amazing thing. When we start throwing, I had to figure out, how am I going to get through this? So I thought he was like 12 years old, and we were in the backyard just playing catch. Mm. That was a way that I kind of got my concentration back in order to play the game at that level again, because it was an amazing situation. I found out he wasn't a bad little player either. You know, because I would always tell him with scouts and stuff, he can't hit, you know, because he never hit in front of me. You know, he was between 12 and 18 years old before he got a hit in front of me. So then when I'm playing with him and watching him and all the things he was doing, the amazing catches he was making, and then how much power he had and average, and he can run just as well. You know, it was just fun to watch.
And, of course, I think back to, what, 1990, September 14th, where history was made, where both you guys had home runs in the same game. That's just what a memory. I mean, what an ultimate – I mean, just what a thrill.
Oh, it was a big thrill. I mean, after I hit the home run, Harold Reynolds was on base.
Harold, yes, uh-huh, and, yeah.
Yeah, I rounded third base. I'm coming in. The first one was meeting when he was junior at the plate, and – just watching his concentration level just shoot up. I mean, his whole demeanor changed. And I said, me and Harold were walking back to the dugout. I said, Harold, he's going to try to hit a home run. And we thought it was diminished a little bit because it was 3-0.
Uh-huh.
The count was 3-0, and I said, oh, he's not going to throw him a strike. And Kurt McCaskill threw him a pitch down on the way, and he hit a line drive right out of the ballpark in left center field, and that was the amazing thing. And he came around, he was grinning all the way around the bases because he knew what was going on. And
uh-huh.
I'm still trying to figure stuff out, you know. I guess old age had me at that time. You know, I was still trying to figure out. And then when he came in, he says, first time father-son hit a home run. Well, Harold had mentioned it to me too, Harold Reynolds. And I said, you're right. And all the pressure was on him, you know, because he had, in order for it to happen, he had to hit the home run. I knew all the pressure was on was going to be on him, and he did exactly that. And he can tell you sometimes what he can do, and he'll probably end up doing it. And that's the other aspect of his game. He can raise it to a level you wouldn't believe.
Well, Ken, there's no doubt about it, as I just said, the ultimate thrill of perhaps your career and as a father playing in the same outfield with your superstar son, Ken Griffey Jr. And there's so many more memories that I would love to talk to you about as far as Red Legends, Johnny Bench, Joe Morgan, and Pete Rose. And we'll just have an open invitation. We would absolutely love to have you back with us again. Of course, that's been the great Ken Griffey Sr., 3-time All-Star, 2-time World Series champion, and, of course, the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. You can give me a call anytime. Okay. Anytime you want to talk about other memories, I'll be glad to do that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Much more straight ahead this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.